to jump into some scripture today because I believe that applies to our life. It changes who we are and can make us like Jesus. We're going to go to Matthew 18 today. And you can open up your Bible. You can open up the Bible app. We've got Wi-Fi here that should be working. So praise the Lord. If you don't have a Bible or a Bible app, that's okay. We're going to put the verses up on the screen for you to follow along with us because we believe the Bible is alive, it's active, and it applies to our life today. So Matthew 18, verse 21 says, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?'" And some of us said, we've asked that question before, have we not? I'm very happy for you if no one's ever sinned against you. I've had different experiences in life. I've asked this question, and he says, 7 times. No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. And I'm going to lose some of you because you're going to be trying to do mental math the rest of the sermon. You're like, what is that number? 490. I'll go ahead and just get you there. That's a lot of times. Verse 23 says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven..." He's explaining the ways of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors brought in one who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me and I will pay it." And then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. When the man left the king, he went to a servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. We're going to be starting a series called The Character of the King. The Character of the King. And we read these verses, and maybe something that sticks out to you is you're like, well, it tells me the king was angry. Is that the character of God? Is he angry? He's distant. He's just waiting to smite me with thunderbolts. I mean, that's kind of how I felt for a long time, is I'm just one sin away from God just smiting me off the face of the planet. Is that the character of the king? No, that's not the character. The character of the king was one who was willing to forgive millions of dollars worth of debt. Each and every last one of us have sinned. Each and every last one of us is that servant with millions of dollars worth of debt that we cannot pay. And the king is willing to forgive. The issue for the servant was he was technically right when he asked for those thousands of dollars. When someone sins or hurts you or offends you, you can be technically right in going, "That was wrong. I'm owed something." He was technically right, and a lot of us feel that way sometimes, right? When someone sins against us, we know we're right. Someone hurts us or offends us, we know we're right. Y'all can say yes, it's okay. You're like, oh my gosh, he knows me. The Bible applies to our life, it's okay. He was technically right. The issue was not that he was owed the thousands of dollars. He was technically right. The issue was he didn't match the character of the king. The servant didn't match the character of the king. That became the problem. It's because he had been forgiven millions. He can't turn around and ask for thousands. When you have been forgiven that much, you have to turn around and forgive. See, when we read scripture, other people, I'm not talking about you guys, the other people out there, we like to read scripture and take the parts we like. We like to read scripture and see what benefits me, what is okay for me, what's comfortable for me. We don't really like the whole Bible because it can challenge us. We definitely don't want to talk about the parts of the Bible where the king says, if you don't follow in my ways, there's actually punishment. Like, that's serious. And we would go, I don't want to really talk about that. That's not very nice. But I would actually argue, if Jesus knew the ways of the kingdom of heaven and didn't tell us things that were punishable in the kingdom of heaven, that would be unkind. I would hate to try to be following Jesus and found out, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't know this was frowned upon. Because the reality is, some of us are like, I'll read scripture, take the parts I like, but Christianity was not meant to fit our ways, it was meant to change our ways. But a lot of us nowadays, we want Christianity to fit our ways, but that's not what it's doing. It's not what it calls to. It calls us to change our ways. Even when we feel like we're, quote, right, and I'm offended, I've been hurt, I'm going to hold something against somebody. In the kingdom of heaven, the law of the land is forgiveness every time. In the law of the land, in the kingdom of heaven, it's forgiveness every time. There should not be someone who's following Christ out holding something in their heart against someone, even if you're, quote, right to do so. The servant was right, but it was actually rebellion against the law of the land because he was called to forgive. You may have walked in here today and you say you're following Jesus, but in your heart you're still holding something against somebody who has offended or hurt you. And I'm here to tell you, according to the teachings of Jesus, you're rebelling against the king. And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to shame you. The reason we're talking about this is because I need to be forgiven too. But we need to know the ways of following Jesus if we ever hope to do so. I don't know about you, but sometimes forgiveness, it's hard to understand. Sometimes the people who offend you or hurt you want to define what forgiveness looks like, right? They're going to tell you what forgiveness looks like. And I'm like, yeah, you don't get to define that. We're going to go over what forgiveness is not. So if you're a note taker, here is your moment. Take out that notepad, get that pen out, write these bad boys down. We're going to go over four things forgiveness is not. The first thing, forgiveness is not an endorsement of what somebody did to you. Forgiveness is not an endorsement of what somebody did to you. When you forgive somebody, it's not saying what they did is okay. In the parable, in the story of Jesus, he says when they sin against you. The king knew full well what he was forgiving was completely wrong. When you forgive somebody, it is not an endorsement of what they did. It's not saying what they did is okay. It's not saying you're just for, you know, totally at peace with what they did. It's saying I'm not going to hold in my heart the sin you've committed against you. I'm not going to hold it in my heart against you. The second thing, forgiveness is not a free pass for someone to stay in your life. It's not a free pass for someone to stay in your life. We go through this a lot with people we're counseling who are dealing with somebody who is verbally abusive or physically abusive or are very toxic. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean it's a free pass for them to stay in your life. Think about it this way. If someone in your life is not willing to follow the ways of Jesus, it's going to get hard at some point for y'all to continue to go the same direction. If you're going to follow the ways of Jesus and someone's going to rebel against the ways of Jesus, that's hard to keep going the same direction. But when you forgive them in your heart, you're not going to hold it against them. But it's not a free pass for someone to continue to stay in your life. They may tell you it is, but it's not. That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. The third thing, forgiveness is not instant trust. Forgiveness is not instant trust. If y'all came and you're serving at the church and I hand you a church debit card and you decide, I'm going to go buy a house in Union County, Georgia, and I hope the church has got that kind of money. I've looked at the housing prices. We don't. So it's going to get declined. But if you take the church card and you just spend every dime we got, and then you come back the next week and you're like, can I borrow the church card again? The answer is going to be no. We're not going to do that again. You have lost the trust. I forgive you in my heart. Now the church people may drag you in the parking lot. And I'll have to go, Matthew 18, people, let's not stone them in the parking lot. It's a bad look nowadays with social media. Someone, we're going to go viral on YouTube for all the wrong reasons. Forgiveness is, I'm not going to hold it in my heart for what you've done. But you don't get instant trust again. It's not instant trust. It's okay when you forgive somebody and go, I'm not going to hold this in my heart, but you don't get to be right where we left off. Trust is earned. And sometimes people, when they hurt and offend you, they're like, no, things are just back to normal. No, trust needs to be earned back, but forgiveness, I'm not going to hold it in my heart. I'm going to follow the ways of the King. Forgiveness is I'm not going to hold this in my heart against you, but it's not instant trust. There's two people, I looked up to several people, but two people I really look up to are Pastor Daryl and Carol Ballard out of Journey Church in Florida. Some of you guys remember Pastor Daryl when he came and spoke here? No one. Praise God. I don't know if the topic is serious or y'all are just like, man, this guy stinks. It's probably option two, and I'm so sorry. Kara Ballard was talking about forgiveness a couple messages ago, and I heard this, and I just thought it was so profound. She said, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. And I think for many of us, when we follow Jesus, it's easy to do what Jesus says when we feel like it, right? We feel like doing what Jesus says, and then someone absolutely betrays you. Someone absolutely offends you. Someone absolutely hurts you. And now the only feeling you got is, how can I get back at them? They've hurt me so deeply. And that's the feeling I got. And then some dude in a black t-shirt gets up and starts talking about forgiveness always is the ways of the kingdom. It's hard. But forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. See, if we want all the ways of following Jesus to be a feeling, we're going to end up with a world that we've got right now. When Christ followers just do what Jesus says when we feel like it. You want to see a move of God, you want to see society start to change, it's when people who follow Jesus fall in the ways of the land regardless of how we feel. Because when the people of God follow the ways of God, there will be a move of God. When the people of God follow the ways of God, there will be a move of God. The kingdom of heaven is not sitting up there looking at the world today going, this is too much for us. We're overrun. Sin's rampant. We can't do anything about this. The kingdom of heaven has never once cowered at the ways of this world. The kingdom of heaven has never once looked down at the world and the sin of humanity and going, we can't make a move here. Sometimes, though, with church, like we all retreat to church sometimes because this is the one place where we feel like it's safe or comfortable, and that's great. I'm glad you're here today. But we're not here just to feel safe or comfortable. We're here to talk about the ways of God so that when we walk out the door, we see a move of God. Amen. Praise God. Three people still with me. I'm going to get up to five people by the end of the service. Y'all just wait. I'm a person of faith. I believe we're going to get five amens by the end. Amen. One person in the front. You don't count your family, man. You're like, he's got plants in the service. I knew I didn't trust this church. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, if you want to turn there, we're going to put the words up on the screen again. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. It says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Not just through a pastor, not just through the worship team, us. Which means it's not a job title. It's not a, okay, if you serve on staff ministry, God will use you through the appeal. He says, if you follow Jesus, we're all the ambassadors. We're all the representatives of the kingdom of heaven. And he says, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. The reason forgiveness is so key to the kingdom of heaven is it's the character of the King. If people who call themselves Christians walk around the world as people who are called according to Scripture, not just Pastor Phil, according to Scripture, we're all supposed to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, yet we walk around with unforgiveness in our heart. We're an ambassador for a kingdom we're openly rebelling against. We're an ambassador for a kingdom we openly rebel against. Some of you guys may be coming back to church for the first time in a while because you got hurt by church. You discovered a sad reality that even people who call themselves Christians are capable of sin. They're capable of hurting you. They're capable of offending you, betraying you. And the reality is, it's true. Like I hope if you're new here or you've been here for a while, like, I wish I could tell you, like, man, Vertical Church is never going to hurt you. I wish I could tell you Pastor Phil's never going to make any kind of mistake. But the reality is, like, I need Jesus just as much as you. Our leaders need Jesus just as much as you. Like, we're here not because we're perfect people. We're here because we're imperfect and in need of Jesus. And if you walk away from the church because of the imperfect people, you were there, unfortunately, for the wrong reasons. The only reason we should ever come to church is to focus on the King, the one who says, I establish the laws of the land, and the laws of the land are forgiveness always. Not when you feel like it, not when it's easy, always. If we're really going to be a church that starts affecting the community in the way the kingdom of heaven calls us to, we have to match the character of the King. We can't be people who walk around with unforgiveness in our heart, holding things against us, because are we really an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven when that happens? No, because when the people of God follow the ways of God, then the move of God comes. You want to look around and see why churches or Christians are ineffective? It's because we don't follow the ways Jesus teaches. How are you supposed to have Holy Spirit move through you in miraculous ways if you're rebelling against the ways of the kingdom? I don't know any king that looks at the ambassadors of the kingdom and says, you don't really follow my ways, but that's going to be totally cool. I'm okay with that. But that's how Christians treat things nowadays, right? We take the things we want from the Bible, and then the other things are more like suggestions. Some of us out here trying to negotiate with the King of Heaven. I don't like this law very much. He goes, it wasn't up for debate. And that's offensive to some of us because we want to be the king or queen of our own kingdom. We want to be the ruler of our own land. But the kingdom of heaven is not a negotiation. It's not up for debate. We either follow the ways of God or we don't, even if we don't feel like it. The calling of heaven is forgiveness every time, because 2 Corinthians teaches us that's what Jesus did. He made a way by forgiving us. I want to close out with a story. That was the chance to say amen. Yeah. Yeah. I'm coaching y'all through this. We're going to get through. Praise God. It's like a ride at a roller coaster. And you're like, I think he's going to lose us. We're going to fall right out. Amen. Shock. Okay. Praise God. Okay. If we can get the nursing team on standby. I'm going to close out with the story. And this happened a while back. There was a firefighter named Matt. And he was serving his community like firefighters do, loving his community, risking his life every day to serve his community. And the firefighter just served a 24-hour shift, and he was only able to get 30 minutes of sleep on that whole shift. And as he was driving home, he woke up to a horrific sound. He had hit another vehicle. And everyone in the crash was rushed to the hospital. And they told Matt, you hit a vehicle that had a mother and her unborn child in it. And there was a daughter in the back. They said, Matt, the wreck killed the mother and the unborn child. And about that time, the husband and father of the other family, Eric, walked into the hospital to spend time with the only remaining member of his family he had left, his daughter. And soon after that, prosecutors walked in and looked at Eric, and they said, according to the extent of the law, we can charge Matt with felony crimes. The thing for Eric, though, is he's a follower of Jesus. And he sat there and thought for a moment about a sermon he had heard. And in the sermon, Eric said he recalled, somebody said, in moments where tragedy happens or even hurt, there's opportunities to demonstrate grace or exact vengeance. There's opportunities to extend grace or exact vengeance. And Eric, who had just lost his wife, an unborn child, looked at the prosecutors and pleaded with them for the lightest sentence possible for Matt. And because of that, the judge issued community service and a fine for Matt. Even though Matt was responsible for the passing of his wife and unborn child. And the story actually got out and the news picked it up, and that's how some dude in North Georgia heard about it. And the news was interviewing Eric because they found it so unfathomable that someone would have this happen to them and choose grace. They found it so unfathomable that somebody would plead for a lighter sentence for somebody who had killed his wife and unborn child. It didn't make sense. And so the news station said, Matt, what were you thinking? What led you to such a bizarre and confusing decision? And Eric gave this quote. He said, you forgive as you've been forgiven. He said, you forgive as you have been forgiven. It wasn't an option. If you've been forgiven, then you need to extend that forgiveness. Eric and Matt are still friends to this day. It's been hard for Matt because he still deals with shame and guilt and all those things that come along with what has happened. But Eric has worked with him through those things to not hold it against himself. And the reality is some of you are here today and the forgiveness you struggle with is yourself. You walk in here and you're not able to forgive yourself for some of the things you've done, the sins you've committed. And you've always thought, this is who I'm going to be. But the character of the king is to forgive. The character of the king is, even if you owe millions of dollars of debt that you can never pay, the character of the king is forgiveness. It's why it matters so much that we follow in the footsteps of our king to match his character. You ask, Philip, if you knew my story, you would understand why I don't forgive. And you're right. If I knew your story and I heard what people had done to you, I would probably say, you're in your right to be hurt and offended. You're in your right to try to carry the unforgiveness. The problem is, if you follow Jesus, you're not right before the king. If you follow Jesus, you're not right before the king if you are holding unforgiveness in your heart. And if we want to see a move of God, we have to follow the ways of God. If we want to see God start to move out in our school systems and workplaces and families, like, we have to be the ambassadors who actually follow in the ways of the land. We have to match the character of the king. If we want to see the world continue to go to hell in a handbasket, just be Christians who don't follow the ways of God. It'll take us there. But you want to see North Georgia start to change? Do radical things like follow the ways of the land. Do radical things like, I'm going to forgive because I've been forgiven. If you're struggling with forgiveness in your heart, I want to encourage you with this. The way you can get to forgiveness is focus on what Jesus has done rather than what people have done to you. If you want to get to a place of forgiveness, you've got to focus on what Jesus has done rather than what people have done to you. Because if you ruminate, if you constantly replay what people have done, you will focus on the thousands that are owed to you rather than the millions that were forgiven by you. Man, but when we focus on the millions that God forgave us, I'm not worried about thousands. I'm not worried about the thousands that are owed me when people hurt me. I may not trust right away. It may not be an endorsement of their actions, but I'm not going to hold stuff in my heart against people. Not because I'm special, but because that's what my king says. And I'm here to follow in the laws of the land. So we close out. I want us to look at one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27, and also verses 31 through 32. These verses say, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Jesus died to establish the law of the land. It wasn't just a suggestion. He came to die for it. It's why it matters so much in the kingdom of heaven is the Son of God came to die to establish the law of the land. Forgiveness, always. And if we're going to be a church who follows the ways of God and sees revival in North Georgia, we have to walk in the ways of God. We have to be people who, even when people hurt us, they sin against us, they offend us, we have to be capable of forgiveness every time. It's not possible in our own strength. We have to rely on Holy Spirit to do that. And as we close out, maybe the reality is you're struggling with that. And I got great news for you. If you'll confess you're struggling with that and ask the Lord for help, He is faithful. We're not here to do this in our own strength. We're not here to hope to see a move of God if we do good enough. We're here to see a move of God if we follow the Lord and trust Him to do what only He can do. So as we close out, I just want to ask for you to bow your head. And as we go into a time of prayer, there may just be a moment where you really want somebody to pray with you. And we want to be available to encourage you, support you. That's what we're supposed to be as a church. You are not supposed to have to do this on your own. I want to encourage you, if you feel like you really want someone to pray with you, you can just head to the back of the room and we're going to have some people with green lanyards on and they would love to pray with you, support you, encourage you. Because the reality is, this type of message digs up some memories for people. It digs up some real hurt, some real pain. All of that's real, and I'm not here to deny that. But I am here to tell you there is a loving, life-changing relationship that is available to you. The power of God is available today. And if you need prayer, just simply quietly head to the back of the room, and our prayer leaders, people I trust, will be able to pray with you. Or maybe you're like, man, I just need a one-on-one moment with the Lord. I need a one-on-one moment with the Lord. And I want to invite you just to, you can have that in your seat. There's nothing, something overly spiritual about coming to the front, but the altar is available. Maybe there's been something you've been carrying in your heart for years now, and it's time to let that go. It's time for us together to walk in the ways of the kingdom, which is forgiveness every time. Because if we want to see a move of God, we can't be holding on to bitterness and anger. We've got to walk in the ways of our King, which is forgiveness every time. So Jesus, I ask for your favor and blessing in this moment. I ask, Holy Spirit, won't you please come convict us if something's wrong. Convict us of our sin, but in that moment, show us your love and your grace. Holy Spirit, I believe you still speak right now. I pray that you will begin speaking to people's hearts and minds as they're tempted to hold on. But the King of Heaven has said, forgiveness every time. So as we enter into this last song, you're invited to come to the front. You're invited to go back if you want someone to pray with you. But our calling as a church is clear according to Scripture. To follow in the ways of God, it must be forgiveness every time. And it's not a feeling, it's a choice. So Holy Spirit, by the power of God, help us to be people who don't carry offense, but offer forgiveness to match the character of the King.